May the words of my lips and the thoughts of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We are still very much within the Easter season, and our thoughts are very much on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the main reason why you and I are here this morning as we give thanks to God for the resurrection of Jesus and for his love as revealed to us in the gospel message. One of the parts of the gospel tells us that the disciples were very afraid. In fact, in part of John's gospel, we see that when Jesus appeared, he appeared to the disciples and it gives us a very clear way that it was. They were desperately afraid. They were behind locked doors, and still Jesus came among them. And that is good news for us. We spend a certain amount of time behind locked doors. We lock out other people of our lives. Sometimes we lock out a marriage partner, or a parent, or a business colleague. Sometimes we lock out another Christian because we do not agree with their theology or their particular church. We get into this state and we feel that people are the enemy. And into such times, our Lord comes and he says what he said to the disciples long ago, "Peace be with you." And when that happens, and it does happen every day in human life, there comes, as it did in that long ago room, joy and peace and a sense of the presence of Jesus. Hard to believe? Of course it is. It states that Thomas, in the story in John, he couldn't believe. He was not present when Jesus first appeared, probably out on some ordinary errand. And he comes back, and the rest of the disciples are half crazy with joy. And he is simply disgusted and angry. They say, "Jesus is risen. We saw him. He was here." And he looks strangely at them. Sometimes it's like that feeling when, and we've experienced it, I'm sure, somebody comes to us and say that they've been to a wonderful movie or a play or some wonderful sunset, and they try and share that with us, but we don't see it. And I think we probably all experience the fact that sometimes we have gone home with some great idea that would be great for the family, and we share that with the family, and they sort of look at us, and they think, "I don't think so." Ever felt that feeling? Yes, well, come on, you guys, gone home. Wouldn't it be nice to go so-and-so? Wouldn't it be nice to so-and-so? No. And that's what happened here. But you see, when you come to think of it, that's what many people think of those who encounter Jesus. Whatever the encounter may be, when we come to know the reality of the risen Christ and we come to commit our lives to Christ and things begin to change and we see a different perspective of life and we want to share it with somebody, try sharing that with a member of the family sometimes, and they look very strangely at you. Oh, you're going all religious, are you? But you see, a week later, we are told that Jesus comes again to them. And this time, Thomas is there, and he says the great yes of his life. There is no ifs and buts or ands. For Thomas, Jesus becomes Lord of his life. And he goes on, as with the rest of the disciples, to fulfill a very important part in the apostolic ministry. And here in this gospel story of Jesus meeting the disciples, Jesus shows himself to his disciples in his resurrected glory. It is here we get a picture not only of the living Christ, but also the living church, the church of the resurrection. It's very interesting because the gospel stories of the resurrection are interesting, but they are also very revealing, and we learn certain important things. For example, in John chapter 20, verse 21, we read these words. Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Some people have said this is the experience for the disciples of their born-again experience, because this was the first time that they had encountered the risen and glorified Jesus in resurrection. The coming of Holy Spirit at Pentecost was their empowering for ministry. Here in these verses, they indicate the function and the mission of the Christian church. Here Jesus gives the disciples three things: a commission to be fulfilled, a promise to be realized, and a gospel to be preached. Then, Jesus then does something we all call, we take it too easily for granted. He offers them peace, and he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." How has the Father sent Jesus? What sort of a world did he send him into? Into a world of struggles and ambiguities and dangers and challenges. In other words, the sending of Jesus is the very opposite to what he finds his friends are doing in that room with the doors locked. And they are terrified and immobile. Jesus moved in freedom. They made themselves prisoners of their own fears. And Jesus reaches out to others, and they are avoiding all contact with others. They have become basically immobile, as what fear does when we get to that particular point. We just cannot move. And it's interesting to note that Jesus does not dismiss these men and women as failures, which he could easily have done. And it's like Jesus said to the disciples on another occasion, "Oh, how long have I been with you and you still don't believe?" He still regards them as his friends, and worthy to be used for his purpose. He gives them peace to strengthen them. Again and again and again in Scripture, we see God calling certain men and women for particular jobs, and in the beginning, they fail hopelessly. They make excuses. Take Moses, for example. God calls Moses and says, Moses, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt back to the promised land. And Moses makes all sorts of excuses. I can't do this, I'm not that, I'm the other thing. And as Terry Fulham once said, Moses didn't know how close he came to be just stamped out because of his arguing with God. But then we know that God forgives and strengthens him and enables him to go on to be one of the great patriarchs and leaders of the people of Israel. And you can take any of the people who have gone through it and look at the disciples. Look at Paul, the one who persecuted the church, tried to stamp it out and was responsible for the stoning of Stephen. And God called him at the Damascus Road and said, Paul, I have a job for you to do. And I'm sure that there was a lot of inner healing needed for Paul and all the things that he went through. And of course, you can look at men and women down through the centuries. You don't have to go back to biblical times. You can look at yourselves and the ministry that God has called you to in one way or another, in your social outreach, in your ministry with here at St. Cuthbert's. And here at St. Cuthbert's, you know as well as I do that this wonderful community has had faithful ministry over many, many years. Prayers have gone up from this place for all sorts and conditions of people and for all sorts of ministries, and you have been blessed by God as you have answered. God forgives, God strengthens, God enables us. Sometimes we feel like saying, when we're asked to do something, why me? And inevitably God will say, why not you? The first peace brought restoration. The second peace gave confidence for future ministry. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And Jesus was sent by God, so he was the first apostle to his church. Now he sends the disciples into the world. And in so doing, he creates an apostolic community charged with divine mission that the church must never, ever forget. It's interesting when you know when the ups and downs of the church and different ways of doing things. And we know, for example, we don't have to take an example, our own Anglican Church has had its ups and downs over the years, its controversies, etc., 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 and that goes back to the beginning of time. My number one son, who has been part of the church since the day he was born, practically. Part of it. Leadership in it in different ways. Youth group. Parish council. Warden. I just love the time when he got to be people's warden and he phoned me and said, who's chairing parish council tomorrow night? And I said, I guess I am. Why, do you ask? Can I chair it? And I said, you're the people's warden. Yes, you can if you really want to. Why do you want to chair it? Well, I think you're too soft on certain people. Okay, kid. I kept on saying to him, just remember, God calls you to these spaces. Be gentle. Be gentle. Give leadership. And then there came that time when, in a parish that he was working with, there came to be a new interim priest. It wasn't me. And they came to differences, and he left. And now he goes to a large Pentecostal church in Langley, and talked to him about this. And so easily he could have said, I've had it with the church. I'm out of here. But he said, no, I'm going to church there. So I said, all right, every second week I'll go with you, which I do. It's different. It's not really my bag, but it's a case of being there. And what is there there? There is a large, there's two services, 9 and 11, and there are several hundred people at the 9 o'clock service. And they have a worship band that is very loud. And they must think the good Lord is deaf, because I am. But here they are praising God, worshiping God, and they get a good evangelical sermon. And they have an 11 o'clock service that would have as many people. And they have a Sunday school between the two services of over 400 children, and we think we do all right because we may have 10 or 20 or whatever. However, on my way to that service, I pass an Anglican church that has an 8 o'clock service, so I do go there for communion. So I suppose you can say I get my Anglican fix, and then I go on and I worship with my son, and that is good because for all the years of ministry, I very rarely got to sit with my children or my family in church, because you're always up front. And here is a time to be with him, and we go for brunch afterwards, and it's a good time of father-son, a good time of fellowship, a good time of worshiping together. It's called being the church, I suppose. You see, I guess I've kind of wandered off here a bit. In fact, you see, the charter of the church is to proclaim the gospel of God's love. And that means at least three things. It means Jesus needs the church. to tell the world of God's love and of salvation for all people, and to reach out in compassion and love and ministry. And the church has to be the mouthpiece, the hands, the feet of Jesus. Therefore, it means Jesus is dependent upon his church. And then it means that the church needs Jesus. A person who is sent needs a message, needs authority, someone to turn to. When Canada sends an ambassador to a different country, that person goes with the authority of the Canadian government, not his own authority. He speaks for Canada. And someone to turn to if something goes wrong. If there's no message, there's no support. And of course, the whole gospel message is about obedience to God. Jesus was obedient to God. And the church, if it's to be effective, must be obedient to Jesus. Otherwise, it will fail. And for many times, it has failed because we have lost the vision of what it is about. So here we are at this Easter season again. We read the stories and we listen again. And I just want to read part of this passage again from the 21st chapter of John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together, the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Thomas wasn't there, but then a week later, Jesus came again. The doors were again locked. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here in my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side, and stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told them, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." May it be, as you and I live our lives, we be mindful of God's love in our lives, and may we always be ready to reveal, to show, and to speak about the love of Jesus. Amen.